Okay, our first speaker is Bill Gurley. As mentioned before by Rick, he is a partner at Benchmark Capital, whose firm has funded Uber, Dropbox, Twitter, Instagram, and eBay. Bill, why don't you lead us off?
Thanks. Rick, just one clarification. I practiced D1 basketball much more than I played. I want to make that clear. I've never prepared a six-minute talk before, but I think it's harder than a 30, and so I'm going to jump right in and move quickly. The first thing I'm going to do to make my talk more efficient is just declare that it's a cold, hard fact that African Americans are underrepresented in roles in Silicon Valley. Engineers, executives, CEOs, boards, VCs, founders. I think it's undeniable, and so I didn't think there was a need to go through the data. There's simply vast underrepresentation. So the questions become, you know, can this change, and if so, how? My first point I want to make about, you know, is upward mobility possible, is to point out that some people like to argue that Silicon Valley is a meritocracy, and why do they feel that way? Well, certain ethnicities have over-indexed in Silicon Valley, and that's particularly true of Asians that have immigrated here. And you will find that in every role, engineers, executives, CEOs, VCs. They also over-index in our university system, especially in high tech. So Asian Americans are 5% of the population, but are 30% of MIT undergrads, just as one example. I would say immigrants from India have done extremely well in Silicon Valley. I found a core question that was, are Indians dominating Silicon Valley? 5 years ago, the LA Times declared, quote, Indian immigrants are tech's new titans. And in that article, they noted, obviously, that the CEO of Microsoft and Google were now of Indian descent, but that of the startups founded in Silicon Valley, 16% are founded by Indians, who represent only 6% of the population. So we have over-indexing by certain ethnicities. What can we take away from that? It doesn't highlight why we have a problem with African Americans. It only highlights that upward mobility is possible, and there might be clues to look to from those examples that could aid in creating change. Is change possible? I believe it is possible. Over the past decade, there's been an intense spotlight put on gender inequality in Silicon Valley. The problem is far from solved, far from solved. But there is change, and I'm optimistic about the progress. I also believe that the progress that is happening on that front is systematic. By that, I mean it's permanent and self-reinforcing, and I expect it to continue to improve. What caused the change? Intense spotlight on the problem, press, social media, local advocates, new organizations created like Eileen Lee's All Raise, Sukhinder's Board List. There was even a California state law about board representation. Is there progress? I do think there is. In 2019, there were 52 women VCs added, up from 38 the year before, and I expect it to be higher this year. Facebook's technical employees are up to 24% female from 15 in 2015. One data point you might not know, going back to the university system, MIT's undergraduates are 47% female, and Harvey Mudd's are 49.6. I also feel progress in the ecosystem. It used to be that people would discuss, you know, whether we needed gender equality in the boardroom. Today, it's assumed. People don't ask, should we? They ask, how are we going to go about doing it? I've been very fortunate. I currently sit on the board of 10 companies. 5 are led by women CEOs. And I've been fortunate enough to work with Katrina Lake at Stitch Fix, who has blown away all types of metrics on this front. 86% employees are females, 62% of management, and 63% of the board. Once again, not declaring this problem solved, just highlighting there's healthy progress underway. So how do we drive change here on this key issue around African-American participation in Silicon Valley? I recommend that we need 2 flashlights to make this happen. Flashlight number 1 is to continue to shine a bright light on the problem. Flashlight number 1 can be direct, it can sting, it might be angry. It needs to be continuous, and it needs to be relentless. It turns out that the social media tools we created here are actually really good at driving transparency and accountability. Even in the past week, today there's an article in the Boston Globe that goes through all the public companies in the Northeast and says who does and doesn't have an African-American board member. I guarantee you that that has been passed around those boardrooms today. The orgs I mentioned before on the gender equality front are ramping up new initiatives. I won't steal their thunder, but you'll hear about them in the next few weeks. A friend of mine, Xander Lurie at SurveyMonkey, launched the Vendor Diversity Initiative in the past week, where Intuit, Slack, Zoom, and 15 other companies, including his, SurveyMonkey, are dictating that all vendors that they buy from provide full transparency on all issues of diversity, most specifically race. This event today is another part of Flashlight number one. And I would also argue we need to continue to shine flashlight number one at the university system. While MIT is doing extremely well on the gender diversity front, on African-American diversity, both MIT and MUD are underrepresented relative to the population, and I'm sure many others are. Down deeper, there are other issues we need to continue to go after. I spoke to Hadi Portovi, who runs Code.org. While African-Americans represent 21% of their K-12 signups to teach coding to K-12 kids, he highlighted a key problem, which is only 50% of U.S. high schools offer computer science, and the ones that are missing are heavily indexed to high African-American populations. Now, I'm about to finish. Let me talk about another key flashlight. That's flashlight number two. I believe we need to highlight the success of all initiatives and individuals that are succeeding in Silicon Valley so that we can show what's possible for the next group to come here. Keep in mind, Silicon Valley is transient. Most of the people I know here that have succeeded here weren't born here. So the question becomes, how do you increase the flow of the top African Americans in the U.S. to Silicon Valley, make them feel comfortable, and make them feel that success is probable? In order to do that, flashlight number two has to convince them that that can happen. And my last point I would make, that in the absence of flashlight number two, flashlight number one might actually discourage that type of migration.
Thank you, Bill.